Hello, everyone. I'm glad you are back for another episode of Longevity Now, the place for all your news and views of a life extension from around the world. Just a little while back, we talked with Patrick Toit and learned how he completely rejuvenated his cardiovascular system with changes to his diet and simple supplementation. He even created his own Vitamin K brand. You might want to listen to that episode before moving on to this one. Now, he is back for a second interview where he shed some light on how various nutrients protect against age-related disease. In addition, he shares some new research about vitamin D. And of course, he has some fun stories about how he learned about human nutritional biology. Listen in to find out how you can up your life extension game without too much effort or expense. And now I would like to welcome to the podcast, welcome back, Patrick Toit. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about rejuvenating the heart, get rid of calcification of the arteries with supplementation and diet. And if you haven't seen that particular video, you should go back and watch it because there's a lot of great information in there about staying healthy, but also about modern medicine and things like that. So welcome back, Patrick.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we left off. One thing you wanted to touch upon that we didn't quite get to in the last podcast is your supplement protocol, your heart healthy protocol in regards to COVID and how that can help. There's a biomedical reason why it could help, correct?
That's correct. And I don't want to go down much of a rabbit hole because there's a lot to cover, but basically it goes this way. Vitamin K in and of itself acts as an antiviral and antibacterial. It's not as potent as vitamin C or as potent as vitamin D, but it plays a role. So the COVID virus itself, let's just start there. And this is some of the stuff I picked up when I was at that conference last week, holistic conference in New York City. Selenium is something everyone is deficient in the world. That's according to the World Health Organization. Except maybe those people who eat Brazil nuts in Brazil.
Me.
Yeah.
I grow organic food too. So,
and
organic soil. So I think that I have a little bit more selenium than most people, but go on.
Well, the mid-range for selenium is, let's say, send your blood work into Quest Diagnostics or somebody like that. If you're right at mid-range, you're doing great. If you're not, which most people aren't, 100 micrograms to 200 micrograms a day. You don't want to go over 200 micrograms or about 4 Brazil nuts a day. Now, that sounds crazy, but that's all you need. So what happens with that is selenium prevents the virus from cutting, and I'll just put it this way, cutting a hole in your cell wall so it can dump its genetic material into your cell. Mm-hmm. Isn't that neat? It binds up what's called a disulfide bond for all the geeks out there. So go have fun with that one. But that prevents that. Now, that's pretty interesting. Now, zinc also goes into your cell, but only in the presence of quercetin or quercetin, however that's pronounced. Eat an onion a day. And what happens there is the quercetin opens up a hole in the cell wall that allows the zinc to go into the cell. When it goes into the cell, if there's any viruses in there, there's a location on every virus called the RDRP location, and it binds it up. So when it's bound up, viruses replicate like a zipper. You undo your zipper, then add another zipper and zip it back up, and now you've got another virus. Well, that binds all that up. How much zinc do you take? About 45 milligrams of zinc a day at the most. Again, don't take too much. And you should take for every 15 milligrams of zinc, you take 1 milligram of copper. And you got to balance that out. And you should use a good chelated copper. I used to buy mine at your shop there in Wausau. You had a great chelated copper there.
Wausau Wellness Center.
Yeah. And then I got my zinc and away you go. So that
virus. And the thing with the zinc and the copper, the zinc will compete with copper for other essential bodily functions, I believe, right?
That's
if you have
right.
too much zinc, right?
Right. You will, or too much copper, you will really screw up your world. So be careful.
15 milligrams to one you're saying is generally the best balance. I got it.
Right.
Yeah, and there are some other zinc ionophores, what they call them. Like quercetin is a zinc ionophore.
Right.
And I
Green
think
tea extract is one.
and
But
green tea has many other health benefits as
oh
well.
God, yeah. Oh
Oh
God,
yeah.
yeah.
So selenium, you would say, is a good supplement then if you are enduring a bout of COVID, perhaps that would help out, but also the zinc with the quercetin.
Yes, on top of all of that, the latest research from the New England Journal of Medicine is that the high level of normality for vitamin D3 is now 150 nanograms per milliliter.
Didn't it used to be 50?
It used to be 30 when I
Or,
started this
yeah,
adventure
and then it went
back
up to
20.
50.
Yeah, now it's 150. My, how times change. Now, vitamin
And
D.
how the medical establishment caught up with you after a
Well,
while, right?
I think they woke up. This isn't catching me. It's just, I think they woke up. D, in and of itself, kills viruses. It just flat out kills them. It also kills bacteria, stuff like that. So, and plus, it's involved in over 350 different hormonal reactions. Now, one other thing that selenium helps with, because we're all not getting any younger and everybody's kind of afraid of Alzheimer's, we make 400 to 500 neurons in our brain a day. The brain just doesn't sit there like it's done for 50, 60, 70 years. It's always making some stuff. Selenium is a critical metal and a critical enzyme that is used to make the sheathing material for your neurons.
The myelin sheath.
Exactly. Isn't that cool? My.
Yeah, it all works together.
Yes, it certainly does. And then last week, I think we talked, or last time we talked, that K1 helps with the myelin manufacture, as does MK4. Looping back to COVID, we've had those situations of the myocarditis, where people have these sudden heart attacks and microclots and all that business. Well, what happens there is menaquinone 7, which is in that K product, MK7, chemically binds to a protein that lines the inside of your artery called the S, like Sam, protein. Now, the S protein is a protein that when you agitate it mechanically, it starts throwing clots to plug the hole. It assumes that you've got a rupture somewhere and you've got to keep from bleeding, okay? Protein S, I believe, and this is just my guesstimate on this, was never designed to be insulted by a man-made virus. I don't think that was the plan. So what happens is the COVID virus or the spike protein or a combination of both, God only knows, agitates the protein S. The protein S thinks there's a rupture and just starts throwing clots. And that's why you get these, killed a good friend of mine. She died a horrible death.
Yeah, I've heard about that, the different heart ailments and the clotting that has occurred, and it's very unfortunate. Yeah.
It's not to be a Debbie Downer, but wow, what a way to
Yeah.
go. So
Well, I'll tell
what,
you what. We'll move on here
well, let me
to,
tell you how this
oh,
works.
one other thing. Yeah, finish that up, please.
Yeah, the MK7 binds that up. So when it binds up the S protein, it still behaves correctly if you get a mechanical injury, but the virus will not insult it, so you don't get the microclots.
I see how that, okay, that's how that works. I'm glad
Right.
that
Right. And there's one other little hook in this hitch in this giddy up. When people get a load of virus or a load of God only knows what's in the jab, your body is always looking for a way to save itself. So one of the ways it saves itself is by extracting the vitamin C and the K out of the elastin in all of your arteries. That's why people who have COVID issues bleed a lot, because their arteries rupture, but not their veins. Their arteries crack. So again, vitamin C, as we've talked before, kills that virus. So if you're taking your K, your D, your C, your zinc, your copper, your quercetin, you're protecting yourself. So there you go.
people have been talking about it a long time about the micronutrients and the minerals, the trace minerals, to make sure you're getting all of that every day, even if it's not in therapeutic doses, but even just the low level amount, so you always have it, and that's the way to optimal health. And I'm glad that we can cover that once again. I don't know if enough people know that to protect themselves. Well, you did mention just a little bit ago about, hey, we're not getting any younger, you know, and a lot of people think about Alzheimer's once they get a little bit older. Well, I'm just wondering, now that you've basically rejuvenated your cardiovascular system, have you thought about life extension in general or any other, you know, bodily systems that you could, you know, rejuvenate and continue to live very healthy for many more years? Have you thought about that angle, healthy life extension?
Well, I don't want my brain to go. So Alzheimer's, in the world of Alzheimer's, the first thing you do is you check your APOE status. Are you 2-4-3-4-4-4-3-3-2-3-2-2? If you're 4-4-3-4-2-4, you have an increased risk for Alzheimer's. But the research from Ferland and her team at the University of Montreal, based at the insistence of the Canadian government, she really screwed up. She proved that if you take your K, you don't get Alzheimer's, which is just amazing. And I've talked to her a couple of times. She's got some really good stuff on the web, but she doesn't do podcasts or anything. She's kind of been told to kind of sit in her hands. But she, her research team really did some good work. But it goes this way. LDL carries CoQ10, and it carries K1. If your brain needs some K1 for sheathing material, myelin material, it'll activate an enzyme on the inside of your artery called the SXR enzyme. That enzyme grabs onto the K1, pulls it across the blood-brain barrier, and rejiggers it into MK4 with the help of that selenium enzyme to make the myelin sheathing material.
That is interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and I asked Ferland, I said, how did you come up with this? She says, well, we did everything else by the book, and finally we said, obviously we're missing something. So they did a dietary study, and they found even if you had the APOE4 gene, you didn't get Alzheimer's. And we went, wait a minute, that's supposed to be a death sentence.
Yeah.
Then they looked at the people who had the APOE4 gene. They ate a lot of broccoli and sauerkraut. And she went, what's going on here? And so they researched it and came up with that biochemical pathway. Now, what's really interesting in all of this, and this is rarely ever talked about, but MK4 is not only absorbed from your gut into your hepatic portal, you know, and then distributed throughout your body, it's absorbed into your lymph system, and it goes from your lymph system into your brain without worrying about the blood-brain barrier, because the lymph system doesn't have one. My, my, my. So that's the body's fallback position to having a good myelination.
Yeah, so with your, obviously with your good diet and your supplementation, you would hope that you can forestall or eliminate any odds of Alzheimer's. And I mean, I imagine the day, I hope for the day when 10 years from now, we have another podcast, or 30 years from now, and I look at you and, you know, you're looking about the same because you take such good care of yourself. I mean, have you ever thought about that? If you could be young at 100 years old, I mean, if there are ways to supplement and different things you could do, is that kind of what you would aim for?
Well, I keep on doing what I'm doing because I'm always researching what to do. Magnesium is critical. Vitamin D is critical. Something else that's rarely talked about is CoQ10. In the ubiquinol form, that's the most bioavailable form. And you go, what does that do? Well, when you have mitochondria, they generate, and this is just conversational chemistry, they generate peroxides.
Yep.
Well, the mitochondria also generate their own CoQ10 and their own MK4 to bind up the peroxides. Aha! So if you give the body an excess, and your body makes less CoQ10 the older you get anyway, so you should supplement with ubiquinol. And so the MK4 is carried on the LDL, HDL, and VLDL particles. So when you're working out hard, you're generating peroxides. And the way the body works in terms of getting tired is you generate more peroxides than you generate the CoQ10 and the MK4. That's how that works. Eventually, you get forced to slow down. Well, if you supplement, you don't slow down as fast as you would normally. You gain about 10 to 20% more endurance for the day. And if you're going to have 10, 20% more endurance for the day at age 70, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, very nice.
And so that's what's going on there, which is kind of neat. So when you take those two supplements, you support your mitochondria. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, energy is very important. That base cellular energy, very important for maintaining, your homeostasis, your healthy body.
And those two things apply to every cell in your body. Now, for exercise, people, they see all this happy hooey that's out there. Just go for a walk, 1 hour a day, all you need. That's it. At 60 to 65% of your theoretical maximum heart rate. That's it. You don't have to do any more than that. Because if you do, then you got to worry about your repair cycle on your joints and your repair cycle on your muscles and buying new shoes. Oh my God, don't,
Well,
But
I've got a couple more questions for you.
sure.
And one of them is, it just dawned on me that in the past, I think you do drink alcohol.
Yes.
And what do you think about the recent hullabaloo where, medical experts are now saying it causes cancer, don't even drink a drop, because for so many years, the advice was, well, if you're just a low or moderate drinker, it seems like it's okay. It's not going to harm you all that much. But boy, there sure seems to be a push lately that it's the worst carcinogen you've ever known, alcohol. And I didn't know what your take on that was.
Well, I read the studies. They are severely flawed. So to me, they're pushing a hidden agenda. The original research on, say, heart disease and alcohol consumption is 2 to 4 shots a day is about all you need. You don't need more than that. Now, the ability to tolerate alcohol is called in the Krebs citric acid cycle, it's called the alcohol shunt. Most people are folic acid deficient. When you are folic acid deficient, your alcohol shunt doesn't work all that well, so you end up, or you have the tendency of becoming poisoned. So from that standpoint, they're absolutely correct. But these studies never talk about the alcohol shunt, which, as a science guy, I'm going, tell the whole story. Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, tell the whole story. Just don't give us the parts that support what you want people to believe. Again, if you keep your B vitamins up, I take a multi-B plus I take methylfolate because I have a folic acid deficiency. I got that folic gene that doesn't convert well. And that's people should get their genes checked and to see what they're deficient in or not deficient in, and then adjust appropriately. And then you're fine.
You're going to blunt any kind of negative side effects or poisoning from the alcohol if you have proper, diet and supplementation, you would say.
I shall give you a story. This actually happened in biochemistry class at Northern Michigan University in 1965. Dr. Richard D. Berry had 20 students in the class, and he divided us up into two teams of 10. Now, these students were all pre-meds and pre-engineering. I mean, these some of the smartest people to this day I've ever met. My God, they were brilliant. So my girlfriend was in the class. She eventually became a MD and a brilliant woman. Oh my gosh, she's smart. So they said, everybody can pair up or quad up or just 10 of you go together, but drink a certain amount of alcohol on a Saturday night. Watch each other do it to make sure it really works. But half of you take a multi-B vitamin and the other half don't. And what he wanted to do was to show us the impact of the alcohol shunt when you don't have the right nutrition. Now think about that. Somebody talking about nutrition in 1975 at the biochemistry level.
And they already knew that back then.
Yes, they did. So my girlfriend says, which group do you want to be in? I said, I read ahead. We're going with the B vitamins.
That's a good
So
story.
Northern was quite the party school at the time. So we all met at this one dive bar and we all had copious amounts of alcohol. And the test to see whether or not this whole thing worked was A, who showed up for breakfast, B, who showed up for lunch, and C, who showed up for dinner. Well, the people who had no B vitamins never even made it to dinner.
Oh,
And the
my.
rest of us were all at breakfast going, holy cow, this really worked. Oh, my God.
Well, that is a great story. Yeah. Well,
Yes.
perhaps
Yeah.
you have another story about the conference you were at last week. You went to a holistic medicine health type conference in New York. And just share with the audience anything that you learned in specific take home advice that maybe you didn't hear before or you knew before and you want to re-emphasize for people who want to stay healthy like yourself.
Well, mold is becoming a big issue. Mold, funguses, black mold, all that is becoming an ever-increasing issue and its impact on health. It's becoming a big deal. It's becoming a real big deal.
And just to pause here a second, when I was growing up on the farm and we were out in the grain bin, at the bottom of the grain bin, it would get moist and there'd be black mold over everything. And we just worked with that stuff all the time, and in the barn and stuff, there's mold everywhere. And I would say, well, it didn't seem to harm me. Is there something that has changed now that mold is a worse problem? Is it something to do with nutrition or the types of mold that are spreading, or more houses have more mold in them nowadays?
The biggest thing is you're getting older and your immune system isn't as good as it was when you were a kid playing in a corn bin.
Okay.
That's for starters. The second thing, your diet, the diet where you get a lot of your micronutrients to help your immune system, the diets are faltering. Thank God Kennedy's now HHS secretary. And it appears that the black mold is moving further and further north. For instance, in Upper Michigan, we never even knew what black mold was up until about 10, 15 years ago. And now you start to see it. I know when I was living in Wausau, or Mosinee, more and more homes there were getting black mold. Even though people were being very fastidious, and it wasn't a sign of them being, off their game. That stuff is just persistent as heck. Is it maybe a stronger version? Could possibly be. I don't know. I haven't seen any studies on it.
But at this conference, people were talking about it, and they were saying, hey, this is getting to be a little more of an issue for older people, especially their health.
Right. And all sorts of things like brain fog. And they were talking about what the symptomology is. You listen to what they say about how people have that COVID hangover, where they're off, kind of off in the ozone. Boy, that really sounds an awful lot like a fungus infection or a mold infection.
Yeah,
But,
something that persists. Yeah, that the immune system can't quite clear out, right?
Yeah, I had a good friend here in Manistique. He never got the jab, but he got COVID once. And after he got COVID, he just didn't feel like himself. Prior to that, he was a great guy, healthy as hell, very robust. And I said, get your urine checked and then get your blood checked. So he got his urine checked, he got his blood checked, and it was off the charts. Just off the charts. Kind of like, wow. So, but yeah.
All right. So at that conference, it was quite a bit of conversation about that. Any other little gems or nuggets that you picked up?
Tocotrienols are becoming increasingly more important than vitamin E.
Okay.
They're the different, there's six forms of E or whatever. They're the form that really works and very effective for, let's say, all the things that vitamin E is known for, like, say, good skin health.
It's mostly due to the tocotrienols.
Tocotrienols, 100, 250 milligrams a day. I do that. Let's see, what else were they talking about? That was pretty much the real good movers and shakers. They talked a lot about, what you should eat, shouldn't eat. My
Sure,
God, don't
sure.
spike your insulin. Don't eat junk food. Your diet
right.
should
Most
be.
of our audience, it's a lot of stuff that most of our audience would probably
Right.
know
It's,
already.
Keep your fat intake high, your junk food intake low.
Yep.
Stuff.
Well, it's a lot of great information. Once again, I'm glad we were able to do a part two here in 2025. And hopefully later this year, maybe next year, we'll talk to you again if we have some more great health information to share. So,
well, I'm going to the Weston Price Conference in Utah, the end of middle of October.
Oh.
So I'll bring some good stuff back. Next month, I have an International College of Integrative Medicine conference in Chicago. I'll be bringing some good skinny back from there. And then in June, I will be going to a sports medicine conference. And then in July, I will be most likely going to Mongolia to see a company that makes Menaquinone 7. They're the largest manufacturer of it in the world. And they're very proud of their process. And what's really nice is they have a library of really cool stuff about what MK7 does, and that hasn't been published in the United States. So I'll see what I can bring back some good skinny there. Oh, one other nugget of knowledge. It appears, now this is anecdotal, so take it for what it's worth, that lanolin-based vitamin D is more bioavailable than corn-based vitamin D. It's kind of like, okay, I got to think about that one. But so, of course, being the good geek I am, I experimented with it with some people, and they found that for the same number of IUs, they got twice as much bump in their blood score than the one, the lanolin versus the other
The
one.
lanolin one was better.
The lanolin
Now,
was better.
unfortunately, I know some people are sensitive to lanolin. They can't take that
Right.
form of vitamin D, but that's good knowledge. That's a good thing to know.
Well, again, lanolin is the base, and then they process it all. And if you're dealing with a company that doesn't know how to purify it, now you got problems. It's
Yeah.
like people say, I took vitamin K and I had this happen to me. I said, well, where'd you buy it from? Who did they get it from? How has it been contaminated or whatever? But yeah, that's one of another little nugget I found.
Well, great. Well, thanks for all your knowledge that you shared here today, Patrick. And hopefully, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, man. Thanks again. Appreciate you, man. Take care.
Just a reminder that Patrick is just a regular guy. He learned how to rejuvenate his cardiovascular system all on his own. While we wait for more sophisticated biotechnology to combat other aspects of aging, remember that you can do a lot on your own right now. Until next time, I'm Justin Lowe.